rolling up, Uber black Cadillac, high heel boots and a sexy body full of tats. Baby's bad, oh baby's hella bad. After her there ain't no coming back. Wanna take a run at that? I think she's feeling me. Turn it up a few degrees. My
what is going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Beyond the Rider, episode 45. So, oh, it's been a day, let me tell you. So, Denver's running late. Robert's running late. So, do you guys just get to hang out with me? I don't know. I mean, maybe it won't be good. Maybe it will. But I hope everybody's having a good Wednesday. It's great to have everybody back. I see Marine Rider, HD AV's here. My man Dallas is here, Slim Jim. And yes, Dallas has been addressed to Denver's permanent record about his attendance. So we'll figure out what's going on. But happy Wednesday, guys. And false advertising. Come on, don't flog me just yet, guys. Things happen. I'm lucky I made it myself. But yeah, man, just it's good to be here. I look forward to these every Wednesday. And I'm sure he will be here shortly. And if not, you just get to put up with me in Denver tonight. Who knows? It's just going to be one of them days. But I hope you guys are all well. It's looking like some really great riding weather this weekend. So I'm looking forward to getting out on the bike. And got the opportunity to start ordering my Stage 1 kit. So I got my air cleaner coming in this week, or end of next week, I guess. And then I'm going to put a tuner on the bike and give the Earl girl some scoot. So I'm looking forward to that. So you guys can look forward to that video coming up. I also have a pretty big announcement coming up that you're going to stay tuned for. Won't be tonight, but some really good things getting. So I got a air cleaner. You know what? It's my show. I can do whatever I want tonight, apparently. So, guys, as always, do appreciate you hanging out. So I went with Ciro3D, and I meant to share this on my social. I'll be honest, I was kind of putting off buying an air cleaner because I didn't want to spend that and the money for that. And then the tuner, I was kind of holding out, and I was going to see if some companies were going to work with me. But this is what I went with. Check out the discounted price. So the original price for the air cleaner was $299. They had them down to $40. yeah, you just can't go wrong for an air filter. You could buy two for that deal and still make out. Hey, to Beard's in the house. What's going on, to Beard? Are you guys live tomorrow? Let me know if you are. Hudson Motive Visual, what a tease. I know, Dave. I'm a failure. I will take my beating like a man. So we're waiting on Robert Jr. or Junior. Gonna get killed for that one too. Denver is en route. He should be here soon. Yes, Goose, you get what you pay for. We're gonna maybe have to contract out Denver's job. Don't tell him when he shows up because he probably doesn't listen to the show anyway. But yeah, we might have to get rid of him. I got the what did I get? I got the Cyper, and I got it in black and chrome because I want to start doing my bike two-tone because that makes De Beard happy, and that makes me happy. So I got the chrome in black, which has the black in the center and the chrome on the sides. I really like that look. It's it's going to be a really it's going to make it for a great look, and then I'll probably do the same sort of style on the horn. And then I will be adding the full headers once we get it tuned, or maybe before I even do the tune, we'll get that added in. So, De Beard, who is your guest for tomorrow? I know he's got a power. He's got a sweet biker, sweet bagger. Yes, we haven't heard back from Robert. He was confirmed. He isn't here yet. Things happen. So, hopefully he makes it, and we'll all be good. He did advertise it, so he knows it's tonight. So we can do two-tone for life. That's right. That's how we roll, baby. But yeah, so I'm going to go with that. I think I'm going to go with the FP3 tuner just keep it simple, not going to do anything too crazy. And then I'm going to add the header pipes. Performance baggers. I don't know. I still think that's an oxymoron. I don't think you can have a Harley that's a performance bagger. I think it's like, you know, it's a performance bagger, kind of. It's still a bagger. I mean, I don't know. I want to see a full, I don't know. I think trying to make a Harley fast is just a little bit crazy with that. But, you know, what are you going to do? Well, that's tell that to the guys. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not cool. I think on a racetrack it's really cool. I don't know that as a street bike it's my thing, but you know, everybody's got their own style. I can appreciate it for sure. It's just not my style. I will say though, that video that you guys dropped of his bike is badass. That bike is really, really sweet looking. Really impressed with the style of that bike. So, yeah, it's they did a really nice job, or he did a really nice job with that bike. I like the look of it and the stance of it. So that'll be a good live. And then Denver has Whit Meza on Sunday, so that'll be a really good, exciting interview. I'm looking forward to that one as well. All right. Well, if we can keep up with the Corvette on a track, that's pretty fast. All right. Fair enough. I'll give you that. I just think it's kind of weird. It's just not my thing, but I like a touring bike. But I can say that all the STs that I'm seeing in the dealerships are going in and out quick. Robert's joining us now. Apparently he forgot about me. I'm so heartbroken. When your guest and your co-host don't show, what are you gonna do? Things happen. But no, and it's right. I respect it. I respect all things. You know, I respect you, DeBeard, even more so now with that pirate beard you got going. I like it. So we got Robert en route, and then Denver will be here. I was kind of hoping that Robert would show and Denver wouldn't, and then we could like talk smack about Denver getting arrested or something. But it's not gonna play out for us. Yeah, it's the one thing I do respect. I respect no matter what you ride. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. Hey man, it's in HR's hands. I don't know how it's going to end for Denver. You know, you build a channel, things don't know. Oh, true. Pete, how you doing? Yeah, so Robert will be here in a minute. Denver will be here in a minute. So you're stuck with me. Wind Road Therapy's in the house. Another NYPD. Very nice. So no, it is not false advertising. We're just waiting on Robert. Denver, yeah, we don't care about Denver. You know, Denver shows, he doesn't show. What are you going to do? So it's all in Dallas's hands. Yeah, you know, we could have brought Droop in and just said he was Denver. Well, it could have worked. But yeah. So I guess this is what live TV is like. It's like, oh, well, that didn't go well. DeBeard, you riding this weekend? I'm thinking about taking a ride up to Route 32 to check the place out. I didn't get there last weekend, unfortunately. I just saw Denver in this side chat. Oh, that's just wrong. That's how he would troll me too. Oh, Denver. I gotta, you know, I mean, things fall apart. Maybe I'm a solo act. I mean, maybe my YouTube career was good and it's ended, and you know, nothing we can do about it. There he is.
Oh, man, I apologize.
Oh, man, the side chat turned on me. They said it was false advertisement. Called me a hack. That's all right. Oh. My host isn't here, Robert. I mean, that's how bad today's going. He's coming, though, too. So, Robert Simmons, welcome to the show, sir. Thank you so much for making it.
Oh, I appreciate it. I want to thank my wife too. I got some people doing some work in my front yard, and she goes, "Don't you have a live stream today?" I'm like, "Oh, damn it!" So and it's not that. Listen, I don't want you to think that this was something that wasn't important. I was all ready for this. It's on all my calendars.
No, and you were promoted. Trust me, I understand. I was on a work call. I was like, "Okay, I gotta go, guys. I gotta get off this call to get on YouTube."
Wow, pleasure.
How
to
are
meet
things
you,
in Georgia, sir?
Everything's good, man. You know, just
yeah.
Been busy, man. Been busy.
That's not a bad thing.
Good kind of busy.
Good kind of busy is a good kind of busy.
Yeah, recorded two videos today and trying to clear out my garage, stuff like that.
Nice.
It's such a balancing act, you know, having to paying it forward and not paying it for it so much that I'm not dedicating time to my wife and to my house. And, you know, it's just a lot.
You can only pay it forward so much. That's the one thing that I love about your channel is that you've adopted that mentality of paying it forward. And I think that that's awesome. And your channel has exploded. You've been, because the YouTube numbers are always kind of weird, but you've been, at least to YouTube, you've been at your channel for what, a year now, a year and a half?
A year. Well, I started in November 16th, 2020. 2020, was it 2020? Yeah, 2020. So a little over a year.
Okay. That's awesome. So we can wait. Yeah, you know what? Denver's late. That's how we treat them. So tell us about your NYPD experience. And that had to be. Now, did you start out in the motor unit?
No. Nobody started in the motor unit.
Because I will tell you, I could talk to you all night about it. I'm fascinated. Our local police department does a lot of demonstrations. I could watch days.
Yeah, yeah. No, nobody starts out in the motor unit in the highway patrol, period, in the highway patrol. It's a very...
Oh, that's a stupid question now I think about it. When I say it out loud, it's a dumb question.
Well, you know what? You never know. I was talking to Paul Harper, and he was at practice session number 40... Was it 40 or 41? One of the two. But anyway, and when I asked him, how long have you been riding a motorcycle? He said 8 years. And then I said, how long have you been practicing slow speed? He said 8 years. And then he said he went straight to motors. So I guess it depends on the department. I don't know. But
wow.
I started in the housing bureau. So and the housing bureau is, you know, working the housing developments. That's where I started my career in the South Bronx. And I was a very active cop. A lot of arrests.
I was going to say that's quite the resume in the South Bronx.
It is a lot of arrests, a lot of drugs. I was a very proactive cop. As a matter of fact, when I used to walk, I patrolled Patterson houses. That's the Patterson and Mott Haven. That's where I was in the South Bronx. And if I walked to the corner and there was a bunch of guys on the corner, they would just move because they already knew what I was coming there for. And at the end of the at the end of the day, as far as I'm concerned, I was working for that woman or that man or those kids that were in school or at work all day, and they're coming home, and they don't want to see a bunch of riffraff, walk through a bunch of riffraff. So that's who I was out there working for.
Wow. So what got you involved or interested in law enforcement? Was it something you always wanted to do? Did you kind of fall into it?
Interesting question. No, I didn't want to be a cop at all, you know.
Okay.
I owe all of that to my mother. My mother would let us know what exams were coming up. And she told me, listen, the police exam's coming up. And my response to her was, I don't want to be a cop. And then she said, take the test anyway. And when they call you, if you don't want it then you can say, I declined. It's funny because thinking about that, fast forwarding, there were cops that I worked with that when a promotional exam was coming up, you would hear cops say, I don't want to be a sergeant. I don't want to be a boss. And I would say to them, bull crap. If I was handing out Sergeant Shields tomorrow and I based it on how tall you were or, you know, whatever, you'd be like,
you'd want it.
Yeah. The real thing is they didn't want to study for it. They didn't want to put the work in, you know. So once I started studying, then I got the bug. And it's interesting because what was true then is true now with me, which is once I focus on something, I'm just all in on it. Mm-hmm. And then I took the test for This is back when the NYPD was not merged. So it was the New York City Police Department, then the Housing Police, and the Transit Police. So I took all of those tests, and then I actually originally got hired by the Housing Police. But in the academy class that I was in, that's the year, 1995, where all of the departments merged. So that's how that happened.
Now, were you riding at that time?
No.
Were you riding before that?
I didn't know how to ride a motorcycle until the Highway Patrol taught me.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, the only reason I even wanted to be in the Highway Patrol, I'll never forget this. I think it's the same year, my rookie year. It may have been my rookie year. I was, the Pope was in town. And I remember I was on a foot post. And I was freezing my ass off. And I remember looking up the highway. Like, I remember the bosses were telling us, you should have the worst view of the Pope. Meaning we should have our back to the highway.
Back to the Pope, yeah.
Crowd, right? The crowd of three people. And I looked up the highway and I saw a police car sitting there. And I saw a cop sitting in that police car. And I remember saying to myself, that guy's the same rank I am, but he is authorized to be sitting in that car. Whatever unit he's in, that's what I want to be in. With the highway patrol. So at the time, I didn't know anything about motorcycles, that they rode motorcycles. I just know I wanted to be in that unit from that.
I wish I could give credit to the channel that I saw. I want to say they're LAPD, but the video I saw, there were two people in the class that never ridden a motorcycle. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I guess that's an awesome way to learn and a scary way to learn. I mean, your skills are a skill set to showing you what can be done with a motorcycle. What was that class like? Because I've seen, I forget where it was, but there was things you watch during lockdown. You know, like, I'm going to binge watch this today. They were showing, they were taking the bikes like off road, and they were doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Forget about it. Yeah. Once they kind of get you through the, I guess the rudimentary stuff, the basic stuff, quote unquote. Then it starts getting crazy. They have a grassy knoll out there. So I did a video on how to properly park your motorcycle. You park it, you park it like this. And then when you leave, particularly with motorcycle groups, first person, if you're going to make a left turn, the first person pulls out and then each motorcycle follows them. Well, they did that on a grassy knoll with us the motorcycles are facing up. And then you have to pull up, make that turn. And then they did it again with the motorcycles facing downward. And basically, that's why when people ask me all the time, well, my concern is doing things on a hill. Trust me, the hill ain't going to get no steeper unless you're in San Francisco. It ain't going to get no steeper than those grassy knolls we were on, taking us on the beach and taking us through water and all kind of stuff. They want to expose you to as many things as possible. So if you ever run into it, you're not going to go, oh, crap. You're going to say, hey, I've done this before.
That's wild.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that you were hooked at that point. So the one thing I don't understand with the motor units now, are you like our local? Well, I say our local, it's the state over, but it's right across the river here. So I'm in Edgewater Park, New Jersey. So the Bensalem Police Department has a, I want to say they have like 8 or 9 bikes. They've done a bunch of runs. They're the only motor units that you see around here. There's a few here and there. But they don't run big. Now, did you ride year round, or obviously not in the snow? But I've heard that some of those they're pretty dedicated to being year round. I think it was the head of the team told me that they pretty much don't ride when their pens can't write. Once the pens stop writing, they're pretty much done for the season. I thought that was pretty funny. And then he backed it up with, "I don't just write tickets, though." I was like, "No, I know what you meant." It was pretty funny.
Well, here's the reality of the NYPD Highway Patrol. It's a motorcycle unit, but it is not like CHIPS. Like, there's not guys that are taking a motorcycle out every day on patrol.
Okay.
Like, there has to be a special need or circumstance or advantage of having a motorcycle to do it. So what basically happens is, do we ride year round? Absolutely, unless it snows. And an example of that is New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve in Times Square is always going to be a detail that calls for motorcycles. You have a lot of people, confined space. so that it's perfect for the motorcycles to go through. If the only thing that's going to keep motorcycles from going down there on New Year's Eve is if it is snowing. Other than that, it could be cold, doesn't matter. Definitely going to be heading down there. Now, as far as patrol is concerned, here's what happens every year, at least when I was working. Springtime comes around. A lot of people haven't been riding for a while. So they'd say, Lou, do you mind if I take a wheel out? My answer would always be yes. Like, it's foolish for me to say no. I want you to be, you know, I want you to get reacclimated to riding. But I also know that to do their jobs efficiently, a motorcycle is not advantageous. A car is going to be better for them. It's safer. They can have all of their equipment that they need. So I feel like the first part of their tour, they would ride around, ride their post or whatever. And then at some point, they'd come back and switch to a car. Now, the FDR Drive, that post, because of where that road would take you down to Lower Manhattan and stuff, you were not taking a motorcycle to on that post, because we're also trained with the police cars to push cars. And the number one goal in the NYPD Highway Patrol is to keep that traffic moving. It is so important to keep traffic moving, because traffic backing up, all kind of stuff can go wrong. And if you're on a motorcycle and you get to that scene, you're just standing there like everybody else waiting for a tow truck to get through the traffic. So, you know, but
that's as a wild. Supervisor,
as a supervisor, yeah, it would be a lot of times where I would say, I'm going to take a motorcycle out just to ride around and check on my guys and my sergeants, because I have a different level of responsibility.
Now, how is that psychologically, I guess would be the word. Was that a hard transition going from a unit to going to a bike? Because I would assume that your tactics as a police officer would be completely different without having any sort of cover or any sort of, like you said, you can only fit so much on a bike. And I would think the bike doesn't offer that much protection, clearly.
Well, it doesn't offer that much protection as far as what are we talking about? Like a car hitting you or like somebody shooting at you?
Car hitting you, shooting at you. I'm just trying to think of all the scenarios, because you're going from a car to being in, you know, on a bike.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the car is always going to be safer for all of those reasons. You have more cover. You have more protection. You have airbags. You have crumple zones. You have all of that stuff. However, you know, you didn't join a motorcycle unit to not ride a motorcycle. At least that should be the case, because trust me, there are people that join the motorcycle unit and they don't want to ride the motorcycle. You know, it drives me crazy. Just like the whole practicing thing. There are people that got into the unit and now once they pass motorcycle school, unless a detail comes up that requires them to ride and they get selected, like they're not going to volunteer for it. But see, those are the dangerous guys. You know, they don't realize that. They don't realize that if you try to shy away from it and now you have to do it, now, yeah, you're wearing boots and breeches, but your confidence is down here because you don't practice it.
Yeah, and that's got to be extremely dangerous. So you did, I assume, in New York, you did a lot of VIP escorting and things like that?
Yeah.
Because I used to love when they had the Democratic National Convention in Philly. It was great because I worked right outside of City Hall. And it was awesome to see like all the bikes blowing down the street and blocking traffic, because you don't see that every day in Philly.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Those conventions, those were always huge for the Highway Patrol. The thing that's important to know about the Highway Patrol in New York City is if anything big is going on in that city, we are involved. No matter what it is, if it's big, we're involved. So the thing about the national convention, the Democratic and whatever Republican national conventions, so many people, dignitaries, are coming to the same place and they all have their own escorts. So it's all hands on deck. You know, it's a lot of motorcycles, a lot of cars, a lot of long hours, a lot of overtime.
Because they have, because you have the UN meetings too. So you have all that. That's got to be crazy.
And then on top of all of that, the president is coming too. That's a whole nother thing. It's a lot. You know, it's when I really think about the stuff that the NYPD is the largest police department in the world. When I think about the things that they do and how we handled it logistically, putting everything together, it's just it really is impressive.
That's amazing. So Denver just popped in. We'll give him a hard time, and then we'll get back to it. Give me 1 second.
Okay. Wind roll therapy.
Denver, welcome.
Hard Dad, time, my ass. Come on, buddy.
They put out an APB for you. Robert still knows some people, but then he found out you're from Seattle, and they don't expedite or not. They don't extradite, so you're safe.
I gotta go. Talk to you later.
Well, I don't feel so bad now. I still feel bad though. That was late.
Things happen, man. This is just great to sit and talk to you. So, Denver, when you we covered a lot of great stuff. You missed it all, but
awesome.
Apparently, wow. They teach how to do wheelies in the motor class. You know, it's all sorts of good stuff you missed.
Nice.
Troop wants your job, by the way. Yeah, Robert's not giving you a good reference to HR, but it's all right.
We'll get there. I'm trying to. I got some technical difficulties. Whoa, now it's even worse. I am so prepared today. It's awesome.
Oh, maybe we need to start practicing a podcast along with riding a motorcycle. Maybe there's a bigger thing here for us. And Robert just always back. He froze for a second.
The camera looks great.
Nah, piss on. It's just gonna how it's gonna be for tonight.
That's awesome. So, did you start offering the training classes right away? I mean, because you have the preloaders, which I think is awesome that you're doing that to let people come out and sort of engage with you. I think it builds your brand, but it gives you. I mean, there's not a lot of training, at least out here. I think that's fantastic.
I've heard about that. Mostly in European areas, they say there's not a lot of training there. This whole thing is it's really surreal because none of this was my plan. Like none of it. Practice sessions, none of it. I just decided to go to a parking lot one day and do a short video because I was going out to do Ride Like a Pro. And I was sick of just taking from YouTube. I said, let me just do one video and give something back to YouTube. And after that video, which is, I named that video, I think the basic fundamentals of slow speed motorcycle operation, something like that. A few videos after that, you can see it was like all over the place because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I'm riding the Harley Davidson or whatever. And then I said, you know what? I put a video out saying, I don't like practicing alone. I would love for somebody to practice with me. So if you're in the area, come by. And that's where practice session number one started. And I thought it was, again, I thought this was going to be a one-time thing. I thought it would just be people locally that would probably come by. Whereas now I have people, you know, coming from everywhere and putting it on YouTube and putting the whole thing on YouTube. It's like giving people classes all over the world for free. And again, somebody watching me do a video, you know, you'll check out with that quick because it almost looks like I've learned that the motorcycle riding community, they kind of look at someone that can make a right turn with the motorcycle straight up or a left turn or the infamous U-turn. It's almost looked at as a stunt, like, whoa, that's a, you know,
okay.
There's no way I can do that. That's how it's looked at. And I'm trying to change that mindset. No other vehicle out there. Will anybody be impressed that somebody can make a U-turn? No other vehicle. But it's with true. A U-turn, it's like, whoa. So I'm really trying to change that. And it's happening. It really is happening. So I love the fact that, guys, I get emails every day and comments in the comment section too of people just telling me that either they had an accident and they were done riding, or they hadn't ridden in years because they're intimidated by the motorcycle. They were thinking about selling it. They watch these videos. They see regular people out there starting here and ending here or here. And that's where the confidence gets built. That's why I don't want people to just watch me doing something. I want them to see average riders become preloaders, become the boss of their motorcycles, basically. And like I always say, being the boss doesn't mean making 18-foot U-turns, dragging your floorboards. There's all levels of bosses. You know, we can't all be the CEO, but you can still be the boss of your motorcycle.
I thought it was really telling to your brand when you were in Daytona and you're talking to people, and you were at one of the tents, and you know, people, you were asking people to rate their skills, and you know, some of them were a lot lower and some of them were a lot higher, but you always ended it with, "That's great, that's great, that's good. Keep practicing." Like it. People need that motivation because I don't, and like you said, it's, and I hadn't thought about that really. people will never ask you, like, can you make a U-turn in your Cadillac? You know, don't ask you that. No one's ever in the parking lot going, look at the U-turn that guy's making in that Silverado. Like, you don't do that. Exactly. But with a bike, you do that. And it's a different skill set. And you had mentioned, too, in one of the videos I thought was great, was that I think you said just go out and do like 3 U-turns every time before you start, just to get a feel of riding.
I actually put that out today. I put it out in was it today or yesterday? No, I did a Facebook thing, Instagram, and I put it on in the community post. But I've been saying it for a while now. If you have time to ride, you have time to practice. You know, a lot of people think practice. I don't have cones. I don't have time. But they ride their motorcycle every day. So I just try to let them know practicing is a state of mind. So if before you ride, before you go on your ride, you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to practice making my left turns from a stop, making my right turns from a stop, do a couple of U-turns, and then I'm going to go on my ride. If you do that every time you ride, that counts. That's going to build your confidence up because you're going to remember, oh, the first time I did this, I made a left turn from a stop. My motorcycle was all the way out here. Now I'm making that left turn and it's right here. It's already working. So, yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, proper gear. I know there's, and I think that's one thing that everybody has their own style. You know, what you're talking about, practicing your turns, you know, makes me think back last year, Rusty Bagger 24. He was a riding coach, was practicing, you know, basically exactly what you're talking about, wearing tennis shoes, ends up snapping his leg.
Oh,
and that's just one of those things is, I mean, I've ridden, my background started in dirt bikes. So it was always, never rode in shoes. I always wore in boots, you know, always riding boots. And I do the same thing even now on my street bike. I'm not comfortable riding in shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be just going 4 blocks up to the store to grab some groceries and I'll go put on my boots. It's just, that's how I am. And for me, it's just one piece of the gear that goes with it when it comes to riding. And, you know, it might be a little piece, you know, you could call it safety gear, but that's just, you know, one thing that I've always done. And it's not so much I'm going to preach to everybody because we're all adults. We all have our own style, but that's just one thing, you know, that has always stuck with me is, you know, boots are just part of the gear when it comes to riding for me.
Exactly. That brings up a good point. Everybody rides with a helmet, but Robert, is there something you can't ride with? Like, I can't ride without gloves. I could ride without a helmet before I could ride without gloves.
Everybody does not
ride with a helmet. Well, that's true. But you ride with a helmet, I assume.
I do when I'm on the street. When I'm at the practice sessions and I'm going to do something, show somebody something, no, I don't put my helmet on. But whenever somebody asks me, because I get questions all the time, how do you feel about gear? I give them the same answer all the time. All the gear, all the time. I mean, we're not coming up with something that nobody knows. The more gear you wear, the safer you're going to be. But what I always tell people is you can put on all the gear you want. If you don't know how to ride the motorcycle, you're increasing the odds that you're going to test that gear, right? Anything can happen at any time. So that's why you wear all the gear all the time. And what I also tell people is this: motorcycles are dangerous, period. Every time you get on a motorcycle, you are saying, I'm taking the risk that I might not come home. And the risk is always going to be higher on a motorcycle than it is in a car because you lack the protection, right? So, and every piece of gear that you choose not to wear, you're increasing the odds of injury. Now, if you don't wear a helmet, now you're increasing the odds of death. You know,
absolutely.
And then we're talking about the full face helmet versus a half shell helmet. I mean, the science is already out there that, of course, a full face helmet is going to protect you better. Like, you know, we know all of this, but for some reason, when people get on a motorcycle, you know, and what I like to point to all the time is this: motor officers. Now, it's my opinion that with motor officers, it's more about the look than anything else. How we look is the most important thing. The whole putting the left foot down. And I tell people this all the time. We're covering the rear brake. That's why we're doing that. But we stay like that because it looks better when all of us are in a group and we all have one foot down, the same foot. But think about the safety aspect of people say all the time, you shouldn't ride a motorcycle with keys in your pocket because if you fall, you know, key can stab you, whatever. How about a gun belt, right?
Well, it's, you got me there.
you know? So and a gun belt with all kind of stuff on it, you know, motor officers, at least in this country, for the most part, you're never going to see a full face helmet. You know, it's a half shell helmet. So again,
actually, the motor officers up here in Washington actually wear modulars.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. But that's rare. But that's very rare. Very rare. What kind of motorcycles do they ride?
They vary. I mean, some have the STs, some are riding BMWs, and some are riding Harleys. It's a variety.
Oh, really? All from the same department?
Yeah.
That would drive me crazy. So if they're all together, everybody looks different.
Yeah, some of the state patrol are riding Harleys, some are riding BMWs. It just, wow. You know, I guess it's whatever they want, or in a way, I'm not sure exactly how, but yeah, they got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, so my answer is always all gear, all the time. I'm not being hypocritical because I know you'll see me wearing a helmet, and that's it. I wear sneakers when I'm riding. But, you know, again, we're also going to do things in our lives based on our experiences. So if somebody went down and hurt themselves, you can best believe the next time they're going to have on a whole bunch of stuff. But the issue is people that have never had anything happen, they feel like they're bulletproof. And that applies to learning how to ride the motorcycle, too. Oh, I've been riding 50 years. You know, I've never had a problem. All right. Everything's okay until it's not.
Yeah. Now, did the NYPD only have Road Kings?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
In my era, I mean, eons ago, they had Indians for a short period of time.
Really? Interesting. Because I know, I think when our motor unit started when I was a kid, I think they had the, you'll know better than I did. What was the chip spike? That was a Kawasaki, wasn't it?
Oh, the KZ-1000s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they had. And then they went over to the full Harley Davidsons. which I think is kind of weird because that's what you think of when you think of police motorcycles, you think of that iconic Road King.
Yeah. At least I did.
Yeah. It's such a good look too.
It's important. I want to point out that the whole motorcycle thing, it's not a world that I was really in. Even when I became a motorcycle cop, I wasn't really into motorcycles. Like, you know, I want to ride all the time. I want to buy my own motorcycle. It was a while before I bought my own motorcycle, which was a Honda VTX 1800. And even after a while, I sold that. And even when I first moved down here, I didn't have to Savannah from New York, a pooler, I should say. I didn't have a motorcycle. I didn't plan on buying a motorcycle. I just happened to be working with someone that kept talking about his motorcycle, and I started getting the bug. And I remember saying, I'll never buy a Harley. I rode Harleys. They're crap. So I went and looked at an Indian. I purchased an Indian. And it's just funny how it's, that's why I stopped saying never when it comes to a lot of things.
So you have three bikes, correct?
Four.
Okay. Let's talk about what's in the stable. Cause I missed one somehow.
Okay. So in the stable is a, and I'm going to say it in the order in which I like them.
Because this will be fun. It's like talking smack about your kids. Let's hear it.
Well, they're well aware. And I put something out about this too. And some people were guessing. So the first one is a 2021 CVO Limited. Now I purchased that motorcycle. I purchased that motorcycle with the intention of riding with my wife. And that was pretty much it. So how that motorcycle became my favorite now is just, it blows my mind. But because that motorcycle has so much surface space, it means there's more space for lights and custom dynamics. If there's a place for a light, they're going to find it. And really changing all of the OEM lights on that motorcycle to custom dynamics, plus adding more, it transformed that motorcycle. Of course, the way it looks, but it just looks beautiful to me now. And on top of that, changing the suspension, changing the handlebars, all of that stuff transformed that motorcycle into, whoa, love it. It's so comfortable. Definitely, I still have to change the seat. That video is coming up. But other than that, so that's number one.
Okay.
Second was first. And by the way, that motorcycle's name is Violet. Second is my 2019 CVO Street Glide. Now, that motorcycle was my favorite all of the time. It's the fastest. It's the loudest. It's got a stage 3. It's a 122. I love the color. I'm a batwing fairing type of guy. Love the batwing fairing. It just looks it's a present. As far as I'm concerned, it makes a statement, especially if you throw some custom dynamics into it. Oh, beautiful. Yeah. So that's second. Third is Blaze. Blaze is my 2021 CVO Road Glide. And then last is my 2019 Road King Special. That's my practice bike, which I actually brought to practice session number 42. And I'm actually going to use it for practice now because I changed the handlebars. The handlebars were horrible. I got a video coming on those handlebars as well.
Nice. So can we talk? What seat are you going with? Do you want to sit on that? That's fine. I was curious.
Oh, Saddleman. All of my seats are Saddleman.
Nice. Very
like
nice.
Going through your garage, it's like I sense pattern behavior.
Yes, there is. Well, all right. So Valiant, that was the first purchase. And that's me being in a Harley Davidson dealership with my friend. He was renting a motorcycle. I had an Indian at the time. And all I was doing was just tearing those motorcycles up. This is ridiculous. $30,000, not an LED bulb to be found on the motorcycle. Just absurd. I was tearing it up. And then one of the salesmen, Eric, he said, hey, you know, was it Eric? I don't remember. But he goes, listen, I got a CVO in the back. And I didn't know what a CVO was. I was like, hey, let me look at it. And when I looked at that bike, I said, whoa. Like, I was looking at all of the stuff I wouldn't have to do to it. Still some stuff you're going to have to do. That's one of the benefits of Harley Davidson is that you can customize pretty much everything. But just looking at it, it spoke to me. Right. And I tell people all the time, if the bike doesn't make it move, that's not the bike for you. Or like people say, if you walk away and you don't look back.
Yep.
It was that bike. And it was almost like it was meant to be, because remind me about the meant to be thing.
Okay.
The guy said, this is not the bike. This is the same kind of bike, but I got one coming in. So I said, all right, when it comes in, give me a call because I want to ride it. But no part of me was like pressed to buy a motorcycle. I got a motorcycle. Finally, I get some pictures texted to me. The bike's here and I ride it. It turns out that whoever bought that bike, they must have had some circumstances that changed. They traded that motorcycle in for a car. So a car dealership sold that bike to Savannah Harley Davidson. And that's how I got Valiant.
Okay.
The next bike was actually my practice bike. That's Angel, the Road King. Last year, bike week, I go into the Destination Daytona. I go into the Harley Davidson dealership to use the bathroom. And I said, you know what? I think they have used bikes upstairs. I went upstairs with a bunch of bikes then. And I saw that bike right there in front of me. I walked right past it because I was looking for maybe a Road King, because I said that's what I learned on. And salesman comes up to me and I say, you got any Road Kings? He brings me back to that bike. And I was like, I didn't like the color or anything. But when I saw it had 740 miles on it, I was like, oh, this bike's like brand new. And,
wow.
I said, can you work out a deal or something? The deal looked good too. So I walked out with, that was a unscheduled purchase, but everything works out. You know, I had a trailer with me. I only had one wheel chuck, but I went to Condor and that's when I met Teffy and he hooked me up. He gave me another wheel chuck and I had my tools with me, installed it. Anyway, next bike. The next bike, I walk into the Harley Davidson dealership. Again, I just keep walking back and forth looking at Violet. And I always said it's a nice looking bike, but again, not looking to buy a motorcycle. So my wife said that the seat I had on the back of my Street Glide, A, the pillion part was uncomfortable. But B, my wife pretty much, even though she's ahead of schedule this year, usually she rides with me quarterly, right? And if she's going to ride with me, if she says, let's go for a ride, I got to take advantage of that because it's not going to happen often. Mm-hmm. So in order to take her for a ride, now I got to get the tour pack, take it off the wall, take a saddlebag off, adjust the suspension, put the seat. It was the whole production. I said, man, if I buy this limited, bam, it's ready to go. If she ever wants to ride, ready to go. I called her up. Actually, I texted her, sent her a picture of the bike. I said, I'm thinking about getting this bike. And, you know, my wife being the girl that she is, she goes, oh, it's my favorite color. Yeah, get it. So that's how that bike got purchased. And then last but not least, Blaze. And I'm not even a Road Glide guy. I'm really not. But when I saw that Road Glide, I said, that's a Road Glide I would buy that Road Glide. And to make a long story short, Eli, she's a VI preloader. She called up somebody she knew you know, if somebody gets that ball rolling for me, I'm going to see it through.
Yep.
You know, one thing led to another and Blaze was purchased.
That's awesome. Yeah, but they, I think, what's that?
I'm sorry. If my house is burning down and I can only save three motorcycles, I'm not going to finish that sentence. Go ahead.
What if you could only save one?
If I can only save one, it's going to be Violet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you purposely push her to the front of the garage just in case?
She's actually parked closest to the door. So smart with man. That, what that means is when I pull her out, the most amount of skill is needed because I have to be straight up, and then I have to make the turn out of the garage door straight up.
So is the garage heated?
The garage is heated. Not that I need that in South Georgia. But it's heated, yes. Heated and air conditioned.
That's awesome. They was it you or Custom Dynamics that posted a picture of your bike just today or yesterday that was all lit up? It was an awesome picture. Dynamics. Yeah, that's an awesome. There's a lot of lights on that bike.
Oh yeah. You hit if you don't if you say you didn't see that, you're blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is amazing to me that we're in 2022 and you look at a stock Harley and you're like, are those lights on? It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. You know,
I jokingly said to them, I put in the amber to white turn signals. And when I was filming it, I'm like, it doesn't look right. It looks like I'm dimming the high beam, the lights somehow. Like the headlights don't look like they're on. It's crazy.
Yeah. I need to get rid of my Edison bulbs.
Edison, what do you ride?
I got a Road Glide.
Okay.
Kickstarter's not that so old.
Yeah, right, I still got the factory lights, but they got to go soon.
How long have you had the Road Glide?
Three years, 4 years. Yeah, somewhere in there. I got a Father's Day a few years back.
You've been riding that Road Glide for 3 years with incandescent bulbs on it? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, this is good. Oh, I love when the guest turns on Denver. Go ahead, Robert. You want me to? I'm going to make them full screen. You're going to get it now, Denver.
Yeah, it happens. You know, it did, I will say. But yeah, they're going to go bye-bye really soon.
Maybe he doesn't ride a lot at night.
When I show up, I like to impersonate a dance party.
Sometimes, the stock headlight sucks too, but yeah.
You still got the stock headlight? Wow. Well,
no, actually, you don't. The bulbs, have changed out the bulbs and got brighter, but
yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Whoa. Yeah, it's you know, at the end of the day, we talk about people saying, people don't see us out there on the motorcycles. So it's really incumbent upon us a few things. A, make our motorcycle as visible as possible. B, make it so that people can hear it. And C, which really should be A, learn how to ride it. Because a lot of the times when people have motorcycle accidents, they blame the cagers, as they call them, or they always blame the other party, when really more than 90% of the time it's rider error.
Oh, it's bright at night. In fact, you know, even the cops have said that when they pulled me over and told me that I can't have my neons on because they're blue. He said, it looked really good. You're bright. I could see it, but only I can drive with blue lights, not you. He goes, so turn them off. I'm like, it's foggy. I'm just trying to be safe. I want people to see me. He goes, hey, it looks great, but you can't do that. I'm like, all right, fine. He hung a right and I kept going straight. I turned them back on. Fuck you.
Wait a minute. Are these only single colors? Let's get into this lighting issue.
Yeah, mine are only single color. I mean, they were actually done by the original. Hey.
How do you live like that?
Because they were done by Dr. Neon himself.
I have no idea. There was a Dr. Neon.
So you have accent lights on your motorcycle.
Up underneath the gas tank, in the horn housing, behind the intake, underneath the saddlebags. But yeah, they were done on hot August nights by, you know, one of the founders of fucking Neon Lights.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have. I put someone on Violet and Valiant. I haven't done that video yet either. I've done it. I haven't put it out yet. But I have so many. I got so much stuff in the hopper, guys. It's piling up. It's
still. You got to put the Pro Glows on, Denver. Come on. You can change the color. They dance to the music. I mean, it's a whole party.
Yeah, you know, maybe on the next one, or you know, maybe upgrades are coming soon. Who knows? I have to get more sponsors. You know.
That's fair. Yeah. It is amazing how much. Well, you ride. I assume you ride strobes in the back of your bike, Robert.
I have the magic strobe.
Yes. The strobes, yeah, that's a huge difference. I can't believe the difference. It's almost comical watching people that are up on you and you hit the brakes. Yeah. They never tailgate you again after that.
So it's especially with Violet. So there's 10 or 11 settings for the magic strobe. And, you know, I always suggest people use setting number 6 because setting number 6 is going to strobe the lights for about 3 seconds. And then just stay solid. And some people like to keep them strobing, but it's important that people know you're stopping, you're breaking. And everybody doesn't know that the strobe is breaking. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I have the
and then stays on. And
it's a good point. Because I have the Blaster X on the fillers, the taillight, and then in the tour pack. Yeah. And it's yeah, it'll get your attention. Matter of fact, he's not in the side chat, but my buddy Mike won the contest the 530 Bikers had for Custom Dynamics, and he got the magic strobe. He calls me up on the phone and goes, "You really run this on your bike?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "I'm in my garage. I'm about to have a seizure." He's like, "I didn't realize how bright these lights are." I'm like, "Yeah, but they work."
Yeah.
You know, there's no... There's a lot to be said for lighting, especially because I have the.
More importantly, all of the lights are cool. And I'm not trying to do a Custom Dynamics commercial.
No, absolutely.
But you know, I just love their products, and because again, they don't just look good; they're functional and they keep you safe. Particularly those fork lights and those saddlebag lights. The latch lights, because now you have lighting on the side of the motorcycle, which motorcycles don't have. They just have reflectors.
Yeah, and I mentioned that when I did the saddlebag lights, the cross visibility is high, huge. That's why I run at night I run the pro glows in white, and I just leave them on because at least it's something. You know,
what do you ride?
So I have a 2014 Ultra Limited.
Ah, okay. So yeah, you got all that surface space.
Yeah, and I joke every time they come out with a new light, I'm like, I can fit that on. As long as the bike's still going to start, we'll put it on. Cause I have the same one that you do. I have you may have the sequentials. I have the dual color headlight trim light. I love that light. Cause it's nice and high and it's that pure intensity white.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
When Dave from Custom Dynamics was on here just last month, I said to him, I said, you know, it's one thing to see it in the showroom, but you can tell, like I was at I made the mistake of buying the cheap Harley one, the amber Harley one that they had. We were at a light and I looked over and I'm like, those lights hurt my eyes and it's noon. I'm like, that's gotta be, you know, a Custom Dynamics light. And it really does make a difference.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Droop apparently wanted me to tell you, Robert, that I ride a two-tone bike because I'm a geezer. So they like to have fun with my two-tone bike. You know, hey, I'm just, you know, it is what it is. Droop, what color is your Ultra Limited? I'll wait. He doesn't have one. That's why.
He's got that super fast. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Wrong guy.
Yeah, that's okay. But no, it's amazing. Here we got a big Smitty's got to chime in. He has a gold wing. So there is really no, I have a geezer glide in the Harley context, but Big Smitty took it to a different level.
A gold wing. Gold wing is the Cadillac of motorcycles.
It's a hell of a motorcycle.
So Robert, do you enjoy getting out and traveling by motorcycle, you know, taking off for multi-day adventures, or is that kind of not in your wheelhouse?
No, nobody. No. So first of all, I have bad hips. So being on a motorcycle for any extended period of time is not fun for me at all. It's the pain. But I feel like even if I didn't have that issue, being on my motorcycle and taking like a long, like riding 12 hours, no. That's why I got a trailer. I'll throw it in the trailer, which I'm planning on doing this year. I want to start going to places where the riding is good. But for me, riding on those roads is the fun, not riding to those roads to ride on those roads. I know that's, you know, so that's pretty much what I'm planning on doing. I'm planning on going to Sturgis this year.
Nice.
But I'm going to Sturgis when Sturgis is not going on, because really all I'm interested in is those roads out there in South Dakota. And I'm not interested in paying jacked up prices for hotels and stuff like that. You know, that's that's going to be astronomically expensive. You know, the more I think about it, just getting there and then lodging and stuff. And then, you know, so that's my plan.
That's nice. Yeah. I think Sturgis would be great without the people. It just sounds like, oh, I'll go without the people. It sounds way more appealing. Denver's going to Sturgis this year.
Yeah, but I'll be there in June, into June for a weekend, for a while, a few days, yeah.
Okay.
We'll just make an extended stay.
Yeah. Well, the rates really go up for the cabin I got when it comes to Sturgis.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, check that place out. It looks like a pretty cool freaking place to stay. It's just outside of Sturgis, a no-name city luxury camping RV place.
Yeah, that's what I got to start doing. I have to start looking at places because really I said Sturgis, but I know I'm not going to be in Sturgis. Everything is really around Sturgis, the outskirts of Sturgis as far as the riding and stuff. So I'll find some place to stay and I'll let people know that I'm going to be there. I don't know if there's a Harley Davidson dealership someplace down there or something, but I'll let people know I'm going to be there if they want to do like a little meet and greet. But I really just want to ride. I want to ride.
That'd be awesome.
I'm going to go up to North Georgia and do some riding. Because a bunch of people are telling me that the riding up in North Georgia in the mountains is just, it's great. So I definitely want to do that.
No, that would be that from everything I've seen, that's some amazing riding. I'm not a big event guy, but the riding itself mm-hmm. would be fantastic. And I think that, you know, there gets a lot of knock about people trailering bikes, but to your point, if everyone has their limitations, my wife can't ride the way she was able to ride. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we had thought about that. You know, we were talking about going to Skyline Drive or, you know, the Smoky Mountains. Just take the car. Or if we can't trail with the bike, however you're getting there is getting there. I mean, I think that's awesome. Yeah.
So that's another part of my channel, Preloader Nation. This channel is so much more than just about motorcycles at this point. I mean, that's the foundation of it. But we're like, it's a family now, right? It really is a family. And this channel is based on positivity. It's based on no arrogance, no judgment. It's an each one teach one environment. And with all of that positivity, that subject you just talked about comes into it too. Whenever I asked somebody, when I was in Daytona and I would ask people, so did you ride here? And they would go, oh no.
I saw that. Yeah, the head goes down. No.
Yeah. And I told them, listen, you don't ever have to change the inflection of your tone when you answer that to me. That's your motorcycle. It's your trailer. You do what you want to do with it. So listen, I'm a leader. I've always been a leader. And I almost feel like it's an immature bullying tactic that if you don't do something that I do, if I try to shame you about it, maybe I can change you to do things my way. No. We don't do that in Preloader Nation. We're leaders here. And even if we're not, nobody's going to judge you for what you do with your property. Right. It's ridiculous.
No, absolutely. I don't hate you, DeBeard. Come on. We got to get over this. See, this is Robert. Talk about your positivity again because DeBeard's hating. I love you, DeBeard.
PMA, that positive mental attitude.
There you go. Every day. And I think that's important. And this is a subject that's near and dear to my heart. I think there's a lot of negativity or there can be a lot of negativity on YouTube or you get these people that are like, well, this guy just started a channel and he's got X amount of following or this girl or this, that. You do mm-hmm. you, boo. You know, whatever works for you. I mean, unfortunately, you get men involved in anything and it becomes a contest of mine's bigger, mine's better. But I think that's important.
We're competitive by nature.
This may sound like a dumb question, but I feel comfortable asking you this. Is there a point where a motorcycle's too aggressive to train on? I don't know if I'm explaining. In other words, like, you know, you see, like when you go to the training classes, everybody starts out on these really small displacement bikes. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you train and you want to learn on what you ride. And maybe I answered my own question, but is it, if you want to learn to ride effectively and ride, with your talent level or your skill set, is it better then to just ride what you ride, or is it better to start with, say, a Road King that's going to give you a little bit more of a nimble bike and then graduate that skill set up?
So it's definitely not a stupid question. It's a good question that doesn't have one answer because because we all learn differently, that answer is it depends.
Okay.
I learned on a road king. And there are other people that learned how to ride a motorcycle, that learned how to ride a motorcycle on a big motorcycle, on a bigger motorcycle. So is it going to be easier to throw a lighter motorcycle around while you're learning? Yes, absolutely. So now that depends on your body composition, your strength or whatever, because once, and again, we're talking about learning. Once you actually know what you're doing, then none of that matters. So the answer to that question is it depends. If we're going to do it percentage wise, yeah, the larger percentage of people are going to be, it's going to be beneficial for them to learn on a bike that's lighter. But I can't stress enough. Once you learn the techniques, the weight of your motorcycle is irrelevant.
Muscle memory.
Ah,
you start getting used to some of it. And, you know, I mean, you continually practice, you know, certain moves, like you're saying U-turns or certain things. Think after a point of me, you're going to kind of get that muscle memory and it's going to become just an everyday thing for you after, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times of practicing, because it takes over 1,000 times of doing something repetitiously at the same time to build that muscle memory.
Exactly. And confidence is really the key. So, for instance, the last practice session we had, James came down from Florida with his uncle on a rented Road Glide. He normally rides ultra limited. And he's throwing his bike around like nothing. And then I had him get on my bike, and same thing. Once he got on the motorcycle, once you learn where the friction zone is engaged and you get that, you're good, right? Because everything else is the same, but that's because his confidence is here. So if your confidence is low, sometimes people will get on a light motorcycle and their confidence goes up a little bit. When they get on a heavier motorcycle, as soon as they take it off of the kickstand, immediately they're intimidated because of the weight of the motorcycle. And that's why we don't use that five-letter word, weight. Because if you get that into your head, now you're not concentrating on anything else but the weight. When really, as long as you keep power going to that rear wheel, you don't have to worry about the weight. And like he said, muscle memory. It's one of the things we practice for. You have to do stuff over and over in order to replace the instinct with the muscle memory. So yeah, these are the things that are key. None of this stuff is rocket science, you know?
Well, and in watching your channel, and I know for some people it may be obvious, but I realized that not only because in at least in my instructor class, they tell you that, you know, to look where you want to turn, but you had brought up a point with U-turns to look beyond where you want to turn. That's helped me a lot because my head goes around and it keeps going. And I still have the psychological issue. I'm going to hit that phantom elephant that's now ran out in front of me, but I always have that. But it is amazing that how much following through and doing that really does work. So Drew had a question. Do forward controls affect the ability to go through your class? Would it be harder? Would it be easier? Well, I guess it wouldn't certainly be easier.
Forward controls. No, I mean, listen, what I want to say is my practice sessions are for all types of motorcycles. And I feel like I need to keep saying that on every video because people look at the video and they see nothing but baggers and they just assume, oh, that's just for baggers. But no, it's for all types. As a matter of fact, May 1st, I believe I have somebody coming to that practice session with a sport type bike, which I've been dying for somebody to come with a sport bike because I need people to see that these same rules apply. The only thing that's different is a sport bike turns like this. That's it. So that person's going to have to lean more to make the U-turn, whereas if you're riding a bagger, you just have to lean a little bit because you can turn the handlebars more. I don't know if I answered the question.
No, that's a really good question. This is a question I was going to bring up. How do you feel about the hydraulic clutch? Because one of the references that I heard that the motor departments, especially because Jerry, am I saying his last name right? Palladino, is that how you say his last name? I don't want to screw his name up. He's like motorcycle royalty. I can't screw that up. Was saying that one of the biggest complaints with the hydraulic clutch is you couldn't adjust it. Now I have a hydraulic clutch and I don't notice it, but it's what I have. So I've never compared it against one of the newer ones with the cable clutch.
Yeah. Do you practice slow speed maneuvers?
I do. Not as much as I should, but I will be. I'm going to get my cones too.
Okay, good. So yes, the advantage is with the cable clutch, you can adjust it, bring it in more. if you have larger hands, you're not going to have a problem with that. It's really an issue for people with smaller hands. And okay. of course, there's you know, things you can do with that. People change the clutch handle and then that takes care of it. But outside of that, my 2019 has a hydraulic clutch. Actually, both my 2019s have hydraulic clutches. Both my 2021s have cable clutches. You know, you can get used to anything. I don't have an issue with them.
Yeah, no, that's the other thing too. If you're looking at next fight, wow, goes Canes for you. Come on, you guys are just rough about my geezer glide. You really are. You're just mean. they're just not nice people, Robert. I'm sorry for this. That's the other question. So you're using the soccer cones, right? Using the flatter ones. You're not using the traditional cones.
Well, they're not flat.
Or do you use both? Well, they're not flat, but they're not a peak.
Yeah, no, they're not those real tall cones. That wouldn't
not the
real
cones.
Yeah, that wouldn't be practical for me, you know.
Yeah.
Because, it's a lot of cones, which means a lot of weight. And, you know, sometimes if I'm doing like a private lesson, I can actually I put a picture of that out today on, was it today or yesterday? On Instagram and Facebook and whatever, of Angel saddlebags and tour pack with full of cones. I have that option to do that. And the good thing about And those cones, when I first started practice session number 1, 2, 3, I don't know how far I went with them. But the first cones I bought were crap. Like, apparently the first days I used them, it wasn't windy. But the first windy day, I'm out there setting up, and then all of a sudden, my whole cone course just moved over to the left. I'm like, oh, God. So I had to invest in some heavier cones, but still nothing really big. And I found that the company that I found, Perfect, they use them for soccer and sports. But man, these cones are awesome. You run them over with the motorcycle, they're tough and they're nice and bright, so you can still see them on camera. So they were like the perfect addition to what I was doing.
Nice. So I'm gonna go out, and anyone that goes out and buys a set of cones, how many should buy? I mean, do you have a thought of, I guess you can't have too many, right? But is it?
It depends on what they want to do, you know, okay. Because at the end of the day, unless they're trying to run like I do, 9 exercises and a bonus all at once, then yeah, you need like 200 cones. But if you're just going to do a U-turn box and then you want to do something else, you can use those same cones and set up something else.
Just switch around.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Fuck. Somebody else is talking about this 2-tone limited.
Yeah.
What's the 2-tone color?
What color? I have gray and blue. Or it's gray on, it's gray on gray. I'm sorry, with a blue pinstripe. It's like the, I'll see now. I don't even know what the color's called.
Violet is 2-tone. She's purple and black. Valiant is gray and blue. So all of my motorcycles except for, oh yeah, and Blaze is orange and fade and black. The only one.
Mine's color. You know, vivid black with a gray stripe through it.
I mean, DeBeard, all I'm hearing is you could take your arguments up with Robert. That's all I just heard out of this conversation. I mean, if it's good enough for Robert, I don't see there's a problem, DeBeard. They just like giving me crap because they're from Jersey. And apparently when you live in the Pine Barrens, you got to be like all the cool kids with the single bike. Now, in their fairness, at least they're not black single colored bikes. They at least have some color to them.
Yeah. All you Jersey Shore guys.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm going to be in Jersey. You coming out?
When?
May 14th.
Oh, mark my calendar.
Yeah. May 14th. I have a traveling practice session that's going on in Allenwood, New Jersey. That's going to be fun. As long as it doesn't rain, that's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to that. And then on May 15th, I'm going to be in Maryland, Columbia, Maryland, doing a traveling practice session there as well.
DeBeard, you're not invited. You made fun of my bike, and we're not going to have that kind of negativity because that will make me drop my bike. And I don't want to drop my bike around a bunch of YouTubers.
Oh, you don't DeBeard, want Blackbeard to come see it?
Nothing wrong with dropping your motorcycle. If you drop it on a closed course and safe and, you know, controlled environment, you're just getting better. It's better than dropping it
exactly.
On the street
and a car running over.
That's what those crash bars are for.
That's right. Engine guards and saddlebag guards. That's all that's going to touch the ground. And it's going to be the underside of the bar. So when you stand the bike up, you're not even going to see it.
I like the ones that you have on your bike that protect it, that have the guards on top of the guards. That's a cool idea.
Yes. Motorcycle drop.
I'd never seen that before. Yeah, that's a really cool idea.
And those are good because a lot of the times, if you don't tell people, they won't even notice that they're there. So they look good. Mm-hmm. But also, they raise people's confidence. People that don't want to practice because they don't want to hurt their motorcycle. It raises their confidence. So now you don't have to worry about the motorcycle when really they really didn't have to worry about the motorcycle anyway, if they have engine guards and saddlebag guards. But I don't even care. Whatever it takes to get you to go out and practice, do it and go out and practice.
That's awesome. I love your positivity. I think that's fantastic. So May 14th, and that's a preloader one, right? That's a preloader training?
Yes, that's going to be a practice session. That's going to be at, I'll give you the location right now. That's going to be at Grace Bible Church. And the address for that is 4041 Squankum. That's Squankum. Allenwood Road, and that's in Allenwood, New Jersey. So that you needed reservations for that. That's already full. But everybody's still invited to come out and hang out because, of course, we're going to do a meet and greet. Cycle Fanatics is going to be there. So I got some Jersey people coming to represent. If you're in Jersey,
I would love just to come and watch and hang out. That'd be awesome.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be great.
Take your bike down there and do a course, Bri. Don't be scared. Well, you got this.
I didn't say I was scared. He said it was full. Are you paying attention?
It's full. Hey, full. I'm just trying to
that
help
means there's no attitude. More space. You know what now, it is, Robert? Listen, he couldn't hear me because he's good. Yeah.
When we're done, if you go, hey, Rob, you mind if I run through? Yeah, no problem. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. And I have a feeling that when I'm done, I'm going to be spent. These practice sessions, they wear me out, especially when it's hot out. As with those cones still up there, I have a feeling I'm going to be talking to people and, you know, we might, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? You know, I don't know. I know I can't be hanging out too much because then I have to travel to Maryland and do the same thing the next day.
Oh, wow. Where in Maryland?
Columbia.
Columbia. Okay. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Well, Robert, it's been a pleasure. That's awesome.
True, Doss.
No, and I mean, thank you so much for your positivity in the community. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
I don't have the reach that some of the bigger channels do, but this is where this whole idea came, is just to sit and talk and realize we're more alike than we are different. And I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you guys.
Oh, absolutely. So, DeBeard, can you plug real quick? DeBeard's doing a live tomorrow. So Baggers and Brews is alive tomorrow. I don't know that there are any Friday. And then go ahead, Denver, give us the elevator pitch. Who you got on Sunday?
Sunday, we got the one and only Whit Meza. She has done some amazing. I mean, when you come to doing, you know, the 48 and 10, when you can do all 48 states in 8 days, coast to coast, what she do at 42 or 46 hours. I mean, and she's done a ton of iron butts. I mean, she is an endurance riding woman that is freaking amazing. I mean, No, go ahead.
She did her first iron butt on a Sportster 1200. I'm like, okay.
But she's done a lot of the, you know, Iron Butt Society rides. And I mean, you can pretty much consider her one of the, you know, the professional endurance riders.
She's
pretty amazing with her resume, but it's going to be really fun, you know, hearing some stories and getting to pick her brain on motorcycles. I mean, because she's ridden a whole lot of variety of them and she has quite the resume of skills.
Yep. Awesome. Good stuff. Well, Robert, thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much. I hope you'll check out the Baggers and Brews live stream tomorrow and then check out Denver's live stream on Sunday. Guys, it's been great. And I'll talk to you soon. Please remember you're not alone. Thanks for listening or watching. See you guys.
Take care.